On today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, we're going to talk about some things that feel like learning team failures, you know, when we're doing these, when we're facilitating these things. And really what we're going to get to is the true goal of operational learning. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello. Howdy, how everybody? Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. Do me a favor, before we even get into this thing, I'm going to front load this thing right here because I just kind of weave it in. But I'm going to tell you right now that it's been a busy. It's been a busy freaking year. It has been. I know most of you out there, you follow along with all the adventures that I've got going on in this crazy, wacky world of human and organizational performance, and doing this as a practitioner, as an independent practitioner of the Hop Nerd LLC, which means that I go around and I help companies help them to operationalize human and organizational performance. I spend a bunch of time talking about HOP fundamentals. I spend a bunch of time teaching people learning teams and learning team deep dives and consulting and coaching and helping to facilitate learning teams and learning team facilitators and kind of on and on and on and on, from conferences here to companies there to a keynote here to a learning team there. It's kind of just busy, and I love it, right? This is exactly what I signed up for, because this is my passion, right? This is my absolute passion, but it has been busy. It has been busy. And where I was going with that is, many of you do follow along on places like LinkedIn. And if you don't, just go search my name. It's super duper easy to find. You can see all the stuff that I share there. If you want more of an intimate behind the scenes, sounds fancy. It's not. It's just me posting memes. But that's over on Instagram. You can follow me at The Hop Nerd, and the YouTube channel, the YouTubes. It is at The Hop Nerd. And so it's just The Hop Nerd or Sam Goodman. And if you search any of those things, or the book titles or all that stuff, you can find ways to follow along on that adventure. All this is to say that most of you see that I am here, I am there, I am everywhere. In the past 12 months or so, I've been in just about every U.S. state. I've been in four or five different countries, and it has been absolutely freaking insane. And I love every minute of it. I genuinely do. I don't love the travel. I hate the travel, actually. It's not the same. Right? I love travel for personal reasons. I hate travel for work reasons. Because I go to my little hotel room and I'm exhausted and I got to prep stuff for the next day, and I'm still working, as many of you do. You know, you live this life. You know the life I'm talking about. You do this too. And I get there and I'm like, crap, I've got to do 14 emails. Crap, I've got another meeting. Oh, crap, I need to review this presentation because I tweaked a bunch of stuff. Oh, crap. So I get in at like 6 p.m. I sit down. I open my computer. I will work for a little bit. Pro tip here, I ordered DoorDash delivered to the hotel room. Most places let you do it, just saying. If you're one of those people that don't like to go eat by yourself, it's super handy. I continue to work until my DoorDash arrives, and I eat a little bit, and I continue to work, and then I go to bed. Now, a part that I failed to mention there that I'm going to insert now is, when I order my DoorDash din-din, I also schedule ahead for the next morning, right? So here you go, pro tip. If I've got to get up super early, which I do most days, because I'll get up a few hours early, do some work, have some meetings, time zone differences. It's weird. It's strange. It's wacky. We know how this goes. I'll order my cold brew coffee, right? Here's a super behind the scenes. Probably two of them right out of the gate, right, to last me throughout the course of the day. Maybe some of those fancy pants egg white bites. Yeah, those are scrumalicious. Those are pretty good. And I'll set that time to have it delivered at like 5 a.m. or whatever time I'm waking up the next day. So I roll out of bed, open the door. There's coffee. There's egg white bites. My computer's sitting there. I get right to work. It lowers my stress level a little bit. And then I go do my thing, right? And I'll just do that on repeat until I come home because when you're working, even if you're in Paris, it's hard to just go out because you go work for like 14 hours a day and then you eat and sleep and then you work for 14 hours a day and then you eat and sleep. And DoorDash, no sponsorship here, obviously, but I mean, if they're offering, just saying, it has been a godsend, a lifesaver in number one, reducing my anxiety and shame of eating alone in public. And the most importantly of all, saving me a bit of time. This is a long, rambly story to tell you that I'm busy. And if you need a help, if you need a helping hand, there, we'll roll that into something that sounds right. If you need a bit of a helping hand on your human and organizational performance journey within your organization, if you're looking for that next keynote speaker, if you're looking for someone to come and facilitate some, you know, half a day HOP workshops, if you're looking for somebody to come talk HOP and operational learning teams, if you're looking for a coach to help coach your facilitators or teach you how to do learning teams real life in the field, in person, right there, I'm your dude. I really genuinely think that I'm your dude. I help organizations all around the globe on this HOP journey, and I would love to be a part of yours. I inserted this long rant, this about 4 minute long story slash rant slash pro tips on travel to tell you that my schedule does get kind of crammed, and it is getting crammed for the rest of the year. It is getting tight. And most important of all, I'm also scheduling this on vacation because your boy needs that a little bit at some point in his life. I got to take a nap and I got to go spend some time with Avery and Jarrell, and we're going to go on a bit of a vacation. We're going to one place new. Right. I'm taking a couple weeks off. We're going to one place new that Avery hasn't been, that she's super excited about. She wants to go to Washington, D.C. So we're only staying there for a few days. Having grown up in Virginia and having been to Washington, D.C., I know that the excitement wanes after about 2 days. But we're going to go and we're going to do some museums and do all the cool stuff and walk around and see all the stuff that she's been learning about in her history class that she is so pumped to learn about and see in person. And then we're going to her most favorite place on earth, the most magical place on earth. And it's not Disney. Every time I ask her this question, where do you want to go? It's your pick. Summer vacation, it's your pick. Where do you want to go? You want to go to a theme park? Cool. Disney World, Disneyland, Universal Studios, Carowinds, wherever you want to go, pick one. Every single time when it's, I know where I want to go, it's Dollywood. It's Dollywood, and Dollywood is absolutely amazing. I grew up in rural southwestern Virginia. Dollywood was basically like, our home away from home. It was the vacation spot. Where I grew up, you had two options. If you were really fancy pants, like once every 3 to 5 years, you went on the big vacation. The big 7 day, you know, week and a half vacation, you'd go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I do have a soft spot for Myrtle Beach still to this day. Or you go down in, you know, Outer Banks, Emerald Isle. You go kind of down in that region. But, you know, somewhere near Myrtle Beach, usually you get down into Myrtle Beach as a family and go there for a week. That was the long one, once every few years or so. But the normal kind of average, we're picking up, we're taking a weekend vacation, we're taking a 4 day or somewhere. We were going to Dollywood just about all the time. Now, as I grew a little bit older, I was fortunate enough that my parents decided that they wanted to invest in a very aged, very, very, very aged Winnebago motorhome, which was a project vehicle for my father. And he fixed that bad boy up, and we trucked all around the country in that, just seeing sights, doing things, staying in campgrounds. And that was a blast, too. So I don't want to diminish that. I feel the need to insert that those aren't the only two places I went growing up. I was a very, very, very fortunate, very, very, very fortunate child that my parents loved to travel and gave me the travel bug and really exposed me to people and cultures all over the country, which was absolutely amazing. But back to long, rambly rants, as you know how my updates go. We're going to D.C. We're going to Dollywood. I'm taking a vacation. I'm taking time off towards the end of the year. My schedule is getting a little compressed. So I've got days available. If you need help, let me know, and let me know soon. You know how to get a hold of me, thehopnerd@gmail.com. You can cruise over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com. You can contact me through that. It comes to my email, so email's just as easy. Or you can get a quote if you want to go ahead and provide me a bit of information so I kind of know what you got going on. Or the easiest thing to do, if you just want to jump straight to it and have a chat with me about what you got going on and let's get this thing figured out and on the calendar, is you can click book an initial consult. You just go in there and you throw it on the calendar, and it comes to my calendar and it goes to your calendar. And we sit down for 15 or 20 minutes and talk about what you need, what I can help you with. And it's super slick and it's super duper cool. Now, sometimes those dates aren't available. And if you need to talk to me, you need to talk to me now. Email is an easy way to do that. Just shoot me an email. Sometimes, you know, that calendar gets a little wacky. Sometimes I got other things going on, but I can squeeze in a call. Sometimes we can just jump on the cell phone and talk about what you need, or we can just communicate through email. So again, thehopnerd@gmail.com is still, right back to the beginning, probably still about the easiest way to get me there, helping you with whatever you need help with, are related to human and organizational performance, related to safety, related to learning improvement, and we can make it happen. Again, the year is getting full, which is great. That's not a complaint. It's just saying, I want to come help you. Let me know. Let me know. Let me know before those dates fly away. So what else has been going on in my life other than travel? Well, we've been doing the podcast. We've got new merch over in the merch shop. If you want to go check that out, it's at the website. And what's really cool, what I'm trying to share in the merch shop now, is we've been working with some independent artists and friends and people that just are good at doodling stuff. And even I've doodled some of those. I got one of those handy dandy, like draw on your computer pads, which is pretty neat. I would encourage you, if you've got a little bit of a bug for doodling or art or anything like that, that's super great. Yeah. I know most of you got a cool iPad that works there too. I don't. I think I'm the only human on the planet without an iPad. I just don't use them. So I really like this little doodle, whatever you call it. There's a technical term for that, but it's the pad with the pen, and you hook it up and you go into like Adobe Illustrator or something like that, or Paint or whatever you're using, and you draw stuff. It's fun. It's relaxing. It's a great meditation if you're having a stressful day too, or in between. It's awesome. It's awesome. But what's cool about that is we've been getting some really cool pieces of art that mostly I haven't generated, that have come from independent artists that have shared these with us, friends that have drawn stuff for the podcast, just cool designs. A lot of them have nothing to do with Hop. They're just cool. They're just fun. And we're throwing those on t-shirts and we're sharing those as kind of posters, concert posters, you know, kind of a little bit of an edge, you know, that we tend to have around here in some of our posts and some of what we share. It's just neat. So if you are artistic and you really like drawing stuff and you feel compelled to draw something related to the podcast, I would love to see it. And I would love to turn it into, at the very least, you know, a thumbnail for an episode, at the very least, something that I can share on social media and tag you in and use it as that concert poster for an episode. If you come up with something neat, just send it to me, thehopnerd@gmail.com. I would absolutely love to see it. And thanks to everyone for continuing to share pictures of 10 ideas to make safety suck less. If you haven't checked out the book, you can find it on Amazon. If you have checked it out, make sure you go over and give it a review. It helps us an absolute ton when you go over and you review it, especially when you leave the comment and you share what you loved about it. It helps us an absolute ton. Same thing with here on the podcast. So those are some ways that I tend to like to share those, you know, that if you really appreciate what we have going on here and you want to show a little bit of support to the pod, to the work that we're doing, an easy way to do that is just share the podcast, like the podcast, review the podcast, buy the books, review the books, leave comments on the books, interact with social media stuff. If you're looking to spend a couple bucks and you want something cool out of the deal, go check out the merch shop. All that stuff helps a ton. Again, it's amazing. It literally keeps the lights on here in the office. It quite literally keeps us fueled on cold brew and out there kicking butt, taking names, growing human and organizational performance around the world. Just tuning in, just you being here helps us an absolute ton. And if you do have that artistic flair and you do feel like drawing us up a really cool poster for the podcast, for the show, for the Hop Nerd LLC, if you want to draw us up a cool poster for 10 ideas to make safety suck less, if you're just looking for something to doodle, and just share it. Share it with me at thehopnerd@gmail.com. And at the very least, we'll take that, we'll post it, we'll tag you in it. We might turn it into a thumbnail or a poster for the episode. And that would be absolutely an amazing way for us to do some cool stuff together. On to today's actual meat and potatoes, meat and taters of today's episode, I want to talk about sometimes how we feel that our learning teams have failed, or what we perceive as failure of a learning team. And to do that, I really want to get to the goal of learning teams, the true goal of learning teams, which we'll get to here in just a minute. And I'm just going to ramble through this a bit and just try to pull together some of my loose thoughts that I've been forming over the past couple of weeks. And it started here. It started right here. I was in a session in a operational learning teams deep dive. Right, so we were basically spending time training facilitators. We were having conversations and teaching facilitation techniques with people that were going to go out and be learning team facilitators, people that were going to go out and grow other facilitators. So a pretty intimate group, right? Folks that are already these bright spots within an organization, folks that were somewhat pre-sorted, right, to come into a course to have a conversation about HOP, the fundamentals, the principles, a deep conversation, and then to spend a good chunk of time learning not only how to facilitate learning teams, but a good chunk of time learning how to teach others how to facilitate learning teams. Okay, so what I need to insert here is that I started recording this, and I didn't realize that this entire time I had my air purifier in the background here blowing on like full blast. It's allergy season here in Phoenix, so if you had a nice little in the background prior to this point, we fixed it. Okay, we fixed it. And if you didn't, this was to tell you that it was there and it was annoying the heck out of me. And thankfully, it wasn't annoying the heck out of you. So back to the point. We were training facilitators. Now, part of these exercises, right, we do exercises, we do all kinds of stuff in there. We get to this point in this conversation. I'm going to make this story kind of short so we can get to back to the meat and potatoes. This idea came out that, holy crap, we don't have the right people in this mock learning team, right? We don't have the right people here. We come up with a subject that we found learning rich, that we wanted to dive deep into, that we know that there's something there. We don't quite know what it is, but we know that we need some improvement. We're curious about it. And it's a great thing that we want to use as our, again, this is a training session, a mock learning team. But we started down that path, and then we realized that none of us know what the heck we're talking about. We just have a high-level view of it. We know the Jenga block conversation, right, where, you know, you're looking in, you can see all the stuff. You're looking above, you see the perfect square, right? That's bringing that down, really reducing that conversation. But if you don't know that conversation, I'm sure there's some videos out there on it somewhere. But we come to this realization, this group did, that we need to know more, and we're not the people that have the information. I bring this up because this group in this particular training session, I'm talking to them and they felt beat. Like they felt like they had failed, that we picked the wrong subject. We thought that this is something that we probably knew enough about. We were curious about it. We wanted to do, like, actually do something with this. And this is a training, yeah. But we thought that we could do, like, an actual learning team on this. And we wanted to dive deeper into this. And we thought we could fix this. We thought we could fix this right now. We failed. We talked about all this stuff. And we picked the wrong thing. And we picked the wrong people. And we failed. That's called life, first and foremost. I think the next thing that I want to insert here is that perfection is not required. Somebody needs to hear that. I spend so much time. With folks around HOP and in particular operationalizing learning teams, operational learning. And there seems to be this really prevalent thread that if we can't get it perfect, what's the freaking point? And I'm here to tell you that perfection is not required. When we talk about the key ideas, the key ingredients that make learning teams successful, when we talk about the key ideas, the key ingredients that make learning teams, there's about 5 or 6 bullet points on that slide. And guess what's not there? Perfection. Because you're going to get it wrong. Even the best learning team facilitators get it wrong. We've had this conversation. Go back in the podcast. It's in there. I promise. Work is messy. Learning about work is going to be a bit messy too. We're going to get it a bit wrong. It's going to get a bit messy. We're going to go in and we're going to learn that maybe we picked the wrong thing. And wrong is probably too strong of a word. It's too strong of a word. In this particular case, they didn't pick a poor subject. They picked an extremely learning rich subject. But they didn't really put enough thought maybe into the other side of that. Are we the right people to be in this learning team? Again, this is just practice, so take this for what it is. But it really drove me to this particular thought, because even when we have all those key ingredients present, right people, learning-rich subject, an environment in which honesty is possible. We've created that environment. People can tell us the truth. We've got all these other, and there's more, we've got all these other key ingredients present. We start to dive into that, and we learn a whole bunch. We learn a whole bunch. But maybe we don't generate a bunch of really, really tactical corporate action items that are going to be amazing. They're going to make somebody in a corporate office super happy because we come up with 32 corrective actions and we come up with a really cool full color PDF 72 page report with the clear covers and the spiral bound. You know, you took it to Staples. We feel like we failed. That's kind of coming back to the main point here. For many reasons, we get to the point of maybe feeling that we failed on our operational learning adventure. And what really came to me during this conversation is this, and especially around this idea, right? Because that's really where this group got. This group got to the idea of like, okay, we've got some good information. We don't have enough information. As this team, we don't have enough information. We could come up with some improvement strategies, but they're probably going to be best guesses. Really, it's going to be best guesses based on operational fantasy. It's going to be based on our assumptions. It's going to be based on us filling in the gaps. And where this learning team really got is here. And again, this is what popped in my mind. Learning that we need to go learn more isn't failure. It's learning. Yeah, we learned something. We learned that we need to go spend more time with the people that are doing the work, that maybe we need to press pause on this learning team. Let's take what we've learned and let's go reform this learning team with folks maybe a bit closer to that actual issue, problem, pain point, normal work. Let's go do that. Learning that we need to go learn more isn't failure. Learning without 32 corrective actions isn't failure. Learning that doesn't result in a 72-page report out or 27 flip chart pages stuck on a wall, it's not failure. It's just learning. It's just operational learning. That's it. It's just operational learning. Guess what? You're going to do a learning team, and you're going to find out you have the wrong people in the room. Yeah. You're going to have to put in some guesses here to get started. Yeah. Yeah. Fair. Yeah. You're going to find that you have the wrong people in the room. You're going to get through a learning team, and you're going to learn a ton about operational reality. And you're going to end up with maybe very little improvement strategies. That's going to happen sometimes. It absolutely is. You're going to get into a learning team and things are going to go wrong. Things are going to go south. And you're going to have to press pause and you're going to have to reset and you're going to have to try again. Perfection is not required. You're going to get it wrong. Telling you that you're going to get it wrong isn't to scare you. It's to encourage you. Because I faced the same fears when I first started using learning teams, working internal to an organization. I was scared. It was new. It was different. It was weird. It was wacky. It felt new, different, weird, and wacky. I was so used to those more traditional approaches, right? It's so used to them. So was our organization. I was the lunatic that convinced the organization that I worked for to go down this path. We'd been talking hop. We'd been laying the groundwork for a minute, and we got to the point of doing our first official learning team. We convened these people. We got them in a room. We're ready to go. I'm scared, and I'm scared a bit shitless. I don't want to let those people down, number one. Number two, I don't want to let the organization down. Number three, a bit self-serving, but I was the lunatic that convinced this organization to do this. And if this goes real, 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 real wrong, it could also go real, 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 real wrong for me. Like, I could be demoted, fired. It could be bad. Like, it was weird. I was scared, shitless. Did it go perfect? Absolutely not. Did I die? Nope. Did not die. Promise, you will not die. Learning is messy because work is messy. Work is messy because life is messy. It's messy imperfection. Our approaches to learning, to operational learning in their purest form, of course, they're going to be a bit messy. Of course, they're going to be a bit imperfect. Of course, you're going to get it wrong. Don't let that stop you from trying. Go out, give it a shot. Small scale, safe to fail, right? Remember those words, small scale, safe to fail. Learn your way through it. Figure it out. Get it wrong. Of course. Yep. And go with it. Learning is the goal. Back to the kind of opening, and I promised I'd come back to this. The goal of a learning team is to learn operational reality. Now, you should be very, you should notice here, you should notice the absence of the word fix, even the word improve. You should notice the absence of 32 corrective actions. You should notice the absence of generate a report out that makes an executive extremely happy. You should notice the absence of all of those things, because that's not the primary goal. The goal of a learning team is to gain an understanding of normal, everyday, usually successful work. It's to gain an understanding of operational reality. Why? Because we value and prioritize the act of learning above fixing or improving. Because we know that fixing or improving without learning is not all that valuable to us anyways. Because again, it's just best guesses based on operational fantasy at that point. So we know that none of that crap is all that important if we don't learn first. So if we just say the goal is to improve things, our mind immediately goes to improve. And so much so, because we as people have this strong desire to fix things. If I see something laying there on the ground and it's broken, I want to pick it up and fix it. Or if I feel that it's broken, or I feel that it can be made better, I want to pick it up, I want to fix it, I want to improve it, I want to make it better. So much so, as people, that if our goal is to generate 17 corrective actions, it is to improve this, it is to fix that, it is to make sure that this stupid thing never, never, ever, 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 ever happens again. Ah, prevent reoccurrence. Why? That's the only place our mind goes. So much so that we miss out on the point here. So much so that we get into all that fixing stuff without learning very much. And our fixes, our improvements, our ideas around preventing reoccurrence, they're based on best guesses. They're based on operational fantasy rather than real and realistic improvement strategies based on operational reality. We get to real and realistic improvement strategies based on operational reality by focusing on the goal. The goal of a learning team is to learn. Yeah, you are pretty fancy, huh? Pretty slick. Yeah. The goal of a learning team is to learn. Now, in your efforts to tap into operational reality, will you almost always discover room for improvement? You will. And when you do, will you co-create improvement strategies with those that do the work? You absolutely will. You will. And it'll be awesome. But if you don't, if you discover that you need to go learn more, then maybe you got the wrong people on the team. Maybe you learn a whole bunch, a ton, but it doesn't generate a bunch of improvement strategies or fixes. Is that a failure? It's absolutely not a failure. We learn for the sake of learning. We learn because even if learning doesn't result in 32 corrective actions and a bunch of killed trees and reports, we learn because learning still makes us operationally smarter. And that's why it's the goal of a learning team. You're going to get it wrong. Of course you are. We all do, constantly. That's not the point. The point is that we're learning. That we're learning, and we're learning, and we're learning deliberately, and we're learning often from those that get shit done. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.